Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time. A mighty fortress is our God. We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Hebrews, and today I want to continue to look at what the writer of Hebrews taught about how God speaks to man under the new covenant. So let's open our Bibles and read Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 again together. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Now, we're continuing to look at what the writer of Hebrews was discussing here in these two verses by looking at the various ways that God used to speak to man under the first covenant or the old covenant versus the more superior way that God speaks to man now through Jesus Christ. And last time we saw that when God spoke through the prophets and through Moses and through angels and dreams and visions and all the various ways in which God used to communicate with man, he was speaking to man about his one and only Son, the darling of the Trinity, the fullness of God, the express image of God's own person, Jesus Christ. So everything that the prophet spoke in some way and with various degrees of clarity always pointed to Jesus Christ. And that is why Dr. Luke wrote in Luke 24 to tell us of how Jesus explained the purpose of the Old Testament scriptures with the two men he met on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection. And in verse 27, he wrote, Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. So God spoke in the various ways in time past to the fathers in the prophets in order to tell us about who he was and what he wanted us to do. Therefore, if we are to know anything at all about God, it will only be because God reveals it to us. You see, we cannot ascend up to God, but God can condescend down to us, and he has. We cannot by ourselves understand God any more than an insect that we hold in our hand can understand us. Nor can we as humans condescend down to the level of an insect and make ourselves known to it. But God can condescend, and God has condescended. And because he condescended, he has communicated with us on a level that we can understand. You see, there was a moment in time when God became a man, and he entered into our natural box and inserted himself into our lives. God put himself into the creation that he had made, and for the first time, God became a part of what he had made to tell us about himself more fully, more completely, more perfectly than he did even through his own prophets. And this way of speaking to us through his Son is infinitely superior than the way that God spoke in time past through the prophets, because now God does not use the lips of sinful men to reveal himself. No, God now uses himself. You see, dear friends, even though the prophets were all great men, they were all, in fact, frail, fleshly, and sinful men. They were not perfect. They all needed grace just like we do. They all needed forgiveness just like we do. The prophets were saved by grace through faith just like we are, and what they said was great and true and wonderful. But it was also inferior to what God now speaks through his Son. We have to understand that Christianity is superior to every other religion on earth because Christianity alone teaches that God himself burst into man's natural box in the form of Jesus Christ and showed us and told us about himself. Because God wrapping himself in human flesh and condescending into man's world and revealing to man about God is the single most important event in all of human history. All of God speaking to man before Jesus was simply to prepare man for when Jesus would come. So everything that the prophet said, everything that the Father saw and heard and did, was to prepare us to see and meet and hear Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you a question today. Do you hear Jesus? Do you listen to Jesus? Are you listening to Jesus? Now, what we must understand is that God used the Old Testament prophets as instruments to reveal a portion of himself to mankind. Notice how the writer of Hebrews tells us how God spoke in verse 1, in many portions and in many ways. Here the writer used two Greek words that are very interesting. They mean respectively in many portions as of books and in many different manners. And there are many books in the Old Testament, 39 to be exact. And in all of those portions and through all of those ways, God spoke to men. Sometimes he spoke in a vision. Sometimes he spoke by a parable, because he uses natural events all the time in the Old Testament to bring forth a spiritual truth. God spoke through types and symbols and shadows in the Old Testament, but it was always God that was speaking. So what the writer of Hebrews is telling us here in verse 1 is that the many ways that God used to speak to man is the various ways that God spoke through the writers of the 39 Old Testament books. God used some of these men to write the law of God, the first five books. God used others to pin down what are called historical narratives, like First and Second Kings and First and Second Chronicles, First and Second Samuel. He used other men to write the poetry and wisdom books, like the Psalms and Proverbs. Then God anointed his own prophets to give us both the foretelling and the forthtelling of the Word of God. You see, the various ways in which God spoke to man in the 39 Old Testament books is an example of his own sovereignty. God Almighty did not limit himself to using just one type of speech, but was varied in his communications with man. This is why he uses all the various names and titles for himself throughout the Old Testament. He is showing us bits and pieces to many different people over a long period of time, so that collectively we will all see and hear and know and love Jesus Christ. 31 different writers over 1,400 years, over on three continents, many of whom never met one another, but all moved upon by the same Holy Spirit to write down the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of the living God. The writing and compiling and preservation of the Old Testament is a breathtaking miracle that should thrill your soul. And if I was an unbeliever, the very fact that we have an Old Testament, and to see the seamless way that all 39 books fit together, and to look at how God moved to preserve these 39 books for thousands of years through wars and exiles and persecutions, and how meticulously it was copied over and over from one generation to the next, would be enough to convince me that it is, in fact, the Word of God. But as beautiful and authoritative and miraculous as the Old Testament is, it is also fragmented. And it is very incomplete. It is an ongoing journey. The revelation of God contained in the Old Testament is what is called progressive revelation. Progressive revelation occurs when the subject of what is being revealed becomes more and more clear as time goes on. For example, Genesis has much truth, the only truth about creation, but very little about Jesus Christ, other than in figures and types. Exodus shows us a natural example of God's plan for spiritual salvation. Leviticus has another portion of truth concerning the shadow of priesthood and sacrifices and holiness. The Psalms reveal even more truth. Isaiah brings forth a little bit more truth. And we see varied and different pictures of the same Lord all the way through all the books, all the way to Malachi when the Old Testament ends. Divine revelation going from the Old Testament to the New is also progressive. It goes from prophecy to fulfillment. It goes from promise to obtainment. It goes from shadow to reality, from symbol to substance, from natural to supernatural, from earthly to heavenly, from terrestrial to celestial, from flesh to spirit, and from portion to fullness. Now, even though she certainly was no theologian, the woman at the well knew that what the Jew had was only partial. And so when Jesus came, he would bring to them the fullness of God. So this is why she said this in John 4:25, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ, and when that one comes, he will declare all things to us. Now, this was not just the rantings of a woman that had five husbands or none. No, the entire nation of Palestine had men whose duty it was to decipher the scriptures to try to make some sense of it all. For example, when the Magi came from Jerusalem to worship the Christ child, Herod called for those men to tell him where the scripture said that the Messiah should be born. Now, don't think for a minute that anything in the Old Testament is erroneous. Not at all. The Old Testament is the Word of God, but it is a limited revelation of God. For example, the Old Testament tells us of a worldly sanctuary, while the New Testament tells us of a heavenly sanctuary. Old Testament gives us a priesthood that is sinful and that dies. The New gives us a priesthood that is sinless and that lives forever. The difference between how God spoke in time past and how God speaks now is not in its validity. Everything that the Old Testament speaks to us through the prophets is right, but it is also incomplete. But everything that Christ speaks is both right and final. Now, another aspect that we need to understand is that ever since Jesus came and died and rose again until right now, that time frame is known as the last days. So the term last days could also be substituted to be called the church age or the fullness of the Gentiles or the fullness of times in various places of Scripture. And so it has been the last day now for 2,000 years, and it will continue to be the last days until Jesus bursts the skies and returns as King and Lord and Master. So every New Testament writer lived in the last days, and we live in the last days too. Now, what God spoke through men of the Old Testament was in pieces. For example, to Noah, it was revealed the part of the word where the Messiah would come. To Micah, the specific town where Jesus was to be born. To Daniel, the time of his birth. To Malachi, the forerunner who would come before him. To Jonah, his resurrection. And so when we put all this together, we see Jesus in his birth, death, and resurrection. So every piece of the puzzle, every portion of revelation from the Old Testament was true and accurate, and each part related to all the other parts in some wonderful way, and each one related in some way to Jesus Christ. But only in Jesus and through Jesus was everything in the Old Testament brought together and made whole. In Jesus Christ, the full revelation of God was complete. And since the New Testament revelation of Jesus is complete, it is blasphemous to try to change it or add anything to it or to take anything away from it. The same God who spoke to the fathers in the prophets has now spoken to us in Jesus Christ. The same God who spoke by the prophets now speaks to us today, but only through his Son. God spoke then, but now he still speaks. God spoke then through men who died. Now God speaks through his Son who lives. God spoke then through men in vague, dark speeches. Now God speaks crystal clear through Jesus. God spoke back then through men in various ways. But now God speaks today in a singular, steadfast way through his Son. God spoke then through men who were sinners. Now God speaks through a sinless Lamb that is both Lord and Savior. God has in these last days spoken in fullness to us through his Son, and it is finished. And so now we have all the revelation that God has chosen to give to mankind. And we have that full and completed revelation in the 66 books of the Holy Bible. So our job now is not to try to find some new revelation. Our job now is not to try to hear some new thing. Our job now is not to discover some new writings or some golden tablets or some angelic conversations or some ancient manuscripts. No, no. Our job now is to eat the book, to digest what it means, to rightly divide it, to take it apart and put it back together again, to analyze it, to study it, to learn it, to believe it, to love it, to learn to value it, to comprehend its meaning, and to apply it to our own lives. In the first verse and a half of Hebrews 1, the Holy Spirit establishes the preeminence of Jesus Christ over the entire Old Testament, over its message and over its messengers. It establishes the priority and the preeminence of Jesus Christ. And that message should be clear to us all. Christ is greater than the prophets. Christ is greater than any revelation in the Old Testament, for he is the embodiment of that revelation. So the only question that I have for you is this. Do you hear Jesus? Do you understand Jesus? Do you see Jesus? Do you obey Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Hebrews. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.